and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the third Sunday in Advent, is all about the light of Christ that gives us joy. Light and joy is what we want today, and I hope God gives you today. The first week in Advent, we lit the first purple candle, which is called the Hope Candle. Last week, the second purple candle for peace. And today, the pink or the rose candle for joy. Next week, the purple candle for love. And then, of course, on Christmas, the white Christ candle for the incarnation, Christ coming at Christmas in the flesh. And today, this pink rose candle is all about light and life and joy. I don't know about you, but we all need light and we need joy. Why do we need light? And joy? Well, in the world, we find oppression, sin, death, and hell. But in Jesus and His Word, we find joy and righteousness and life and heaven. So today, let us consider how Jesus brings heavenly light into this earthly darkness and into our lives and gives us light, life, joy. Light, life, joy. We need light in the midst of darkness, don't we? If you've ever been outside in the complete darkness, this oppressive darkness, and not had any light and you couldn't see where you were going, you needed light. We most appreciate, I think, light and electricity when we don't have it. Remember a couple years ago when we didn't have power for 4 or 5 days? We couldn't turn lights on, you couldn't turn the heater on. We realized how much we missed the light. In countries like Haiti, which was devastated by the earthquake this past year, where they have, and still many parts of Haiti, still don't have any electricity, people are living in abject poverty. They have no light. And a man started a company called Sirona Cares Foundation, where they go into villages and supply people with a rechargeable battery kit attached to 2 4-watt LED bulbs. And then every day they roll a trailer into town that is powered by solar power, and everybody recharges their batteries so they can have these really excellent lights in their homes. A way for them to have light in the midst of darkness. And now the churches and congregations can start having church services in the evening again because of these lights. Well, every Sunday we come here to receive light. In word and sacrament, we are recharged, if you will, by God's word and sacrament and have the energy of God's light so that we can have joy in the midst of a dark world. You have light, you know. In the darkness of your sins has come the light of Jesus' forgiveness. In the darkness of confusion about why you are here, you have the light of Jesus' clarity for your life. In the darkness of times of anger, you have the light of patience in Jesus. In times of the darkness of depression and despair, you have the light of joy and hope. And in the dark nights of our failures, we have the light in our baptisms that every day is a new beginning. No matter what the past has been, today you can begin anew with Jesus' light and life and joy. So let us briefly consider these three aspects of John chapter 1. First of all, amidst the world's darkness, John comes as a witness to the light. Then we'll look at Jesus Christ as heaven's light, the light of the world. And finally, how you in your own Christian life, who believe in Jesus, can have that light and joy in your life. After all, we could talk about this all day long, but if you don't have this light and you don't have this joy, that's what God wants to do for you. So let's first consider the world's darkness and how John bears witness to the light. For a moment, consider the darkness. You know that kind of darkness sometimes on these nights when there's no moon out and there's a fog and it's so black you can't even see the hand in front of your face. This is a good picture of the world's darkness. Without the light of Jesus, without the knowledge of Holy Scripture, people are ignorant and don't understand who God is. They are living in spiritual darkness. The priests and the Levites who come to John, sure, they're religious, a lot of religiosity. But they don't know who John is, they don't understand who Jesus is. So even though they're religious, they're living in spiritual darkness. People today are confused about the identity of Jesus. The reason why there's false prophets and cults is that people don't understand who Jesus truly is as God in human flesh. And so people try to figure out who God is on their own, but they never do, because spiritual darkness clouds people's eyes. And as Paul said, that veil can only be removed by Christ. But in the midst of this darkness, John says, a light has come. John the Baptist, the man sent from God, bears witness to this light. You know John. He was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age, and he was of the priestly line. He bears witness to the light as the last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New Testament. John the Baptist is like a bridge between the Old and the New Testament. He says that all might believe through him, Christ. And when the people come to John and ask who he is, he says, I'm not the light. I bear witness to the light. Is that the Christ? No. Are you Elijah come back from the dead? No. Are you the great prophet, which actually was the Messiah? No. Well, then who are you? He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. This man of whom Jesus says there was no one greater in the kingdom of heaven simply says about himself, all I am is a voice. In virtually all of the paintings of John the Baptist, you see a man with a long finger pointing at Jesus, who is sometimes pictured as a lamb to be sacrificed, because John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's whole focus was to be like the moon that reflects the light of the sun. He is saying that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not me. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that, and then also the Advent Vespers services, that the first time John and Jesus met was when John was in Elizabeth's womb, and Jesus was in Mary's womb, and they met. And John leapt in Elizabeth's womb because he was in the presence of Jesus who was in Mary's womb. This is John the Baptist, who all these years later, here we are talking about John the Baptist during Advent, this one who was clothed in camel's hairs and ate grasshoppers and wild honey, still is the voice, make straight the way of the Lord also for his second coming on the clouds. We have to remind ourselves, as we're getting close to the celebration of Christmas, his first advent, that the real thing that we're waiting for is his second advent, when he will come upon the clouds on the last day. So John prepares us for that advent as well. So in the midst of the world's darkness, John bears witness to the light. Now let's consider heaven's light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. This light from heaven, everyone who believes this light recognizes that God has come from the Father, makes straight the way of the Lord. Jesus is a light from heaven. You know, when that light dawns on Christmas night, when the shepherds come to, when the angels come to speak to the shepherds, and the light dawns, glory to God in the highest. that light has appeared. This light, as Luther said, from heaven above to earth I come. That light has come down like a ray of light directly from the throne of God. God the Father's gift is his Son at Christmas. He comes straight from the Lord to be born in humble Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. When you go into the cave underneath the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, you're struck by this humble place for Christ to be born. This cave in the side of the hill in Bethlehem, where they've marked the spot of Jesus' birth with a star on the floor, and candles are always lit there. And to the 10 feet away, the stone manger where they say Christ was laid. You see the utter humility of Jesus, King, along with the Father of all the universe, who humbles himself to be a babe in this humble cave, put in a manger at Bethlehem. This is the light of the world. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah promised in Genesis to crush the head of the serpent. Jesus is the light of the whole world, and whoever walks in him will never walk in darkness. Jesus is the Lord, God in human flesh. Jesus is the one who comes after John as true man, but he's greater than John. He's John's Lord, and we are not even worthy to untie the sandals on Jesus' feet. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And at the Jordan River, where John had been baptized by John, we see Jesus, the second Adam, who has come in our place to fulfill all righteousness. How unexpected the light has come to the world. No one expected the Christ to come in this way. Today, no one expects God to come in humble ways like water and word and baptism and bread and wine in Holy Communion. No one expected that when the King came, his throne would be a cross and his crown would be made of thorns. But God has his own expectations that in the humility of Christ, we would be lifted up. He would become sin for us on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. This is Jesus, the light of the world that's been proclaimed for 2,000 years and has been proclaimed to you. Believing in Christ, you have that light. So thirdly, we talk about what does it mean that you have that light in your life. And because you have light, then you have life, and then you have joy. This is what Isaiah and Paul said. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, that is Jesus, when the Lord was anointed as Christ, this is what Jesus has done for you. You who are poor in heart have good news. You have been bound, the prison has now been opened. When you were brokenhearted, Jesus bound you up. When you mourn, Jesus comforts you. When you're a captive, he gives you liberty. The Lord's favor is upon us. When the day of vengeance comes on the last day, we have this faithful everlasting covenant. We are the offspring of Abraham in the church. We rejoice, we exult. We are oaks of righteousness with gladness of heart because we are planted, our roots are planted in the righteousness of Christ, crucified and risen in our place. And we have that light and life. Isaiah says that we rejoice in God because he has clothed us with garments of salvation and covered us with the robe of righteousness. The picture of Jesus the bridegroom and the church is the bride, covered in the white robes of Christ's righteousness. The God of peace will sanctify you completely. Your whole spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. God who is faithful, he will do it. What this means is this. At the moment of your death, or when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, we will be in heaven because our sins have been forgiven and we are covered by Christ's righteousness. There are times in my ministry that I've been with people on their deathbed. And it's amazing sometimes how people could have been in church all of their life hearing these gospel words from Holy Scripture. But yet, now when they're facing death, they say, I'm not sure I'm ready, Pastor. I don't know if I've been good enough. I'm just not sure if I'm going to make it to heaven. And I bring back these promises. Brother, sister in Christ, you can be certain of the gift of heaven. It's not based upon you trying to live a good life. It's based upon the perfect life Christ lived for you. He covered you in holy baptism with his righteousness. He has sustained you with word and sacrament all of your life. It really is true. He has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that is the only thing that will comfort us when we're about to die to be with the Lord. I rejoice. Jesus is my righteousness. So as we continue through Advent in our journey toward Christmas, we are carrying light around with us, bearing witness to Jesus born at Bethlehem, crucified and raised at Jerusalem, the only light of this world. And if you want joy, don't look inside to find the joy. Look outside of yourselves to Christ. One person said, if you seek for joy all of your life, you will never find it. But when you find Jesus, or rather, when he finds you, no one can take that joy away. Paul said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Test everything. Abstain from evil. Hold fast to what is good. This Advent, through the witness of John the Baptist, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, may the light of Christ fill you with life and joy this third Sunday in Advent and always. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.